Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the heart of the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, it's the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, August 21st, 2016. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we are really glad you've chosen to join us this morning. I've spent a lot of my morning talking to people in a brand new group that I've started on Facebook.
You've received a lot of comments, and rightfully so, encouraging you and congratulating you and wanting to know your secret of how you've
lost 92 pounds.
Yeah.
I eat less.
Wow, who'd have thought?
I know, it's crazy. But I mean, it's more than that. And in fact, I've gotten a lot of emails and excuse me, Facebook messages over the last, I'd say over the last 4 or 5 months when people really noticed it. It's been over the last 11 months or so, almost a year since I started down this road of weight loss. But many people have told me, you know, I don't feel like I have any kind of a support network. And so I've been sort of coaching people one-on-one via email and things like that. But it occurred to me that maybe I should just bring in reinforcements, you know, and let's all help each other. So I started this group at Facebook and we've already got like 140 members and it's just such a cool thing. So I'm really just praising the Lord for it because I pray that this is an extension of our ministry.
And it is one that hits close to home for a lot of people because it's not, or shouldn't be. I think for most of the people who contacted you, it's not about the cosmetic changes that the weight loss brings. It's the fact that your knees feel better, your feet feel better. You know, I've dropped about 30 pounds, so you know, not anywhere near what you have. But
I thought you'd lost about 40. But anyway, you've lost
from the time that I started losing at my highest weight, which was probably about 10 years ago when we were back in Columbia. I was probably close to 240 pounds. And now, as of this morning, I'm bouncing the last week or two between 200 and 205. But there's a big difference. But I know that for your sake, when you're talking that kind of weight loss, you're also having to readjust the dosage of some of the long-term meds that you're on.
It's kind of funny, yeah. In fact, one of the things that we've been talking about on this group today. And by the way, we will put, just in case you don't know what we're talking about, we'll put a link in the show notes or whatever, the study notes. So if you want to be part of this, it's just called Sharon Gilbert's Weight Loss Club. It's a stupid name, but I tried to, it really is. And I didn't even want to put my name on it, but I thought because most people who have followed this visually are viewers of Skywatch TV, to have my name on it, they would realize that it's really me, but also to sort of help them to find the group in the first place. But it's not, it's, like I said, it's a stupid name, but the whole point is to come together as and encourage each other.
And offer useful suggestions.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's been a really interesting study to see how, not just physically, to how do I put this? I feel better physically, but my self-esteem.
Oh, sure.
Honestly, I never really had a terrible self-esteem. It's not that. But I've noticed that my self-esteem is better now. And the Lord loved me just as much when I was heavier as he, you know, he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care which way.
But the enemy takes advantage of those physical things.
That's the thing. And the enemy gets in there.
Right. And uses that against us. So there are aspects of that would be beneficial just from that standpoint.
Yeah.
It's human nature.
It's human nature.
And not all of us are as blessed as I am to have somebody who, you know, I felt better about myself at 240 pounds than I felt previously at 175. So, you know.
Which is what you weighed when we met.
Yeah, which was probably too skinny.
You were really skinny. Yeah.
But still, I felt better about myself because of what I saw in your eyes when I looked at you. And that is huge. Not everybody is blessed enough to have that.
No.
And so this can be a help to them as well.
Exactly. So anyway, we did hate to spend a whole lot of time on that because lots and lots of things to read today and
so many
take
psalms.
A look at. Praise God. I mean, the Psalms are wonderful. I have, you know, Psalms was one of those books that in the past I thought, okay, here's the pretty one. Here's the nice one. Always. He's depressed again. I'll try to ignore that. I've gotten so much out of these Psalms.
Right.
And it's amazing how many of them relate to the Mount of Assembly.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, we're going to start with another one yet today. So we get to ring the bell again. It's the Divina Council reference of the week here early on. And that is one of the reasons that we're reading these books in chronological order, because it juxtaposes the Psalms with Samuel's and the Kings and the Chronicles, and we get to see how these Psalms correspond to the various phases of the life of David or Solomon. And
find out why he was so depressed.
Exactly. Or exultant or thankful or what have you. And it really brings more meaning to those Psalms when you read it that way. You understand, okay, David's on the run from Saul. Oh, okay, that explains why he's so blue. It makes a lot more sense that way. And of course, you want to follow the reading order. You'll find those links in the top menu bar at the website, gilberthouse.org. Well, before we dive in, we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for drawing us together. And Lord, we just pray that we can be an encouragement to one another, whether it's through the internet or in our face-to-face divine appointments that you set for us, sometimes with people that we, often with people that we don't even know. Lord, we pray that as we read your word, that you will open our minds and our hearts and help us to rightly understand your word. And then, Lord, to grant us the courage to live according to your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're beginning with Psalm 111. We're going to read a string of them from 111 through 118. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. And of course, that can mean a physical congregation, human congregation, but it can also refer to the divine congregation, the divine assembly. And ultimately what we're doing here on earth, the temple, the tabernacle before it was, were just representations of Eden, even down to the guardian cherubim, the menorah representing the tree of life.
Yes. Yeah. Eden as in the Mount of Assembly.
Exactly. So, whenever we see references like this, don't assume that it just means the physical congregation of our human brothers and sisters. It may also mean the divine assembly. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The inheritance of the nations. Took the inheritance from the... Well, that was how God, I would think, when he took, called Abram, later Abraham, out from the land of the Amorites and set him apart as a nation unto himself. After the Tower of Babel, he divided the nations and gave them their inheritance. But then Jacob, Israel, was his allotted portion, his inheritance. And there we go. Giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a great line to remember. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
Now we go to Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Ooh, that's a beautiful phrase. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. he will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Hmm. You know, that coming from David, and I assume this is a Psalm of David. It doesn't say so at the beginning, but
right.
It does seem like he had to deal with this idea of an adversary, a physical adversary,
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yes.
He has distributed freely. No, this was not, you know, socialism.
Mm-hmm.
He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. Horn is a representation of government, kingship,
mm-hmm.
Can also represent the spirit. You know, the horn is in holding holy oil. There are a lot of depth within just that one word.
Mm.
The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. The wicked man gnashing his teeth and melting away. I like that.
Psalm 113. And many of these that we're seeing now, says praise the Lord, the actual Hebrew is praise Yah, which is just a shorter form, of course, of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton. Mm-hmm. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
The name.
The name. Again, the theology of the name. It was often personified
mm-hmm.
as the angel of Yahweh, meaning Jesus, the second power in heaven. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord.
That's really wonderful. Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. Personification of the sea.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point.
The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The hills like lambs. This is, again, personification mm-hmm. of the whole land itself.
Yes.
Rejoicing mm-hmm. at the presence of the Lord. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back. O mountains, that you skip like rams. O hills, like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the King of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water.
Mm. Is at the presence of the God of Jacob.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because the sea and the Jordan, of course, were parted to allow the Israelites to step into the land.
And they're considered the domain of another god.
That's right, of Baal. And the mountains that skip like rams, of course, were the holy mountains of Hermon, where you had, and of course, Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
And Zaphon was way in the north, mm-hmm. but certainly... Yeah, and then, gosh, Mount Gerizim, even
mm-hmm.
where Joshua made that that famous statement, you know, choose this day who will you serve, but mm-hmm. as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
And even Horeb.
Horeb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what was the mountain that Balaam was standing on?
Nebo.
Yeah.
Nebo. Was that new? Was it?
No, it wasn't Nebo. Nebo is where Moses died.
Yeah. Not Peor. That was where they had some. That was where they had the other incident.
Lots and lots of mountains that were ruled each by their own
Pisgah?
Version of Baal, and maybe
I'd have to look. Numbers 21,
but they were quaking at the presence
mm-hmm.
of the Lord.
Yeah. Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory.
Another reference to the name. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, I do not believe that it's the same thing. Praising the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. These are two different entities, I believe.
Right, right. It's, yeah, not they're not talking about the reputation of Yahweh. They're right. talking about his essential character. And again, there are places... And again, I keep saying, and again, I, you know, watch that habit that's...
and yet again.
I keep, yeah. It, you know, it's one of those things that you don't notice it until you notice it, and then you can't stop noticing it.
Okay, those at home who are listening, get a little glass of water, put some, you know, fruit in it, just so it's nice nutritional water, and we'll have it be the drinking
game. The drinking game, every time Derek says...
but it has to be water.
And again. As we've said before... Yes, the name is a personification in places. It is certainly a personification, but just the name of the Lord, where it's referred to, especially like this, is not just his reputation.
Right.
Yeah. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, this isn't to say that the psalmist, whoever it is, understood that the gods of the foreign nations were imaginary.
No, it doesn't say that.
Right. The way the people of the ancient Near East viewed idols, that was a way for them to localize the deity, to mm-hmm. To basically give it a presence with them.
Right.
But they had to perform a ritual called the opening of the mouth, where they would basically do some sort of magical working in order to give the idol a voice for the god or deity that was inside.
Which is a ritual used in the ancient Egypt culture to open the mouth of a mummy.
Mm.
There is a ceremony called the opening of the mouth that the high priest has to do.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a very similar thing.
To give life to the mummy.
Yeah. Very similar thing that is done mm-hmm. with the these idols that were mm-hmm. created for their gods.
Well, the way I understand this is his point is, you guys created these mm-hmm. idols. Why do you think that they have any more power than Yahweh, mm-hmm. God Almighty?
Right.
No one created him.
Right. There's a story that is probably apocryphal in the Book of Jubilees. In fact, I was watching this on one of Trey Smith's videos yesterday, his commentary on the Book of Enoch.
Yes,
fascinating stuff. He is a natural-born storyteller, and his video style is very, very modern, very contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He reminded me of a story I'd heard once, but again, it's apocryphal, Book of Jubilees, about Abraham confronting Nimrod, who likely would still have been alive at the time Abraham was.
Yeah. I've read the story. I know what you're talking about.
And his father, Terah, was supposedly the chief creator of the Teraphim, which were the little household god statuettes that everybody had in the ancient Near East. And Abraham, after understanding that Yahweh was the chief god, went into the Teraphim, the gods that were for the king, you know, Nimrod, and he smashed them all with an axe except for the big one. And Nimrod apparently knew somehow that Abraham did it and asked him, well, what happened here? And Abraham said, well, gee, I don't know. I came in here to put the offerings for the little gods. And as they all went for it, the big god took up this axe here. The big idol over here took the axe and smashed up all the little ones. And Nimrod's like, do you think I'm stupid? And Abraham's like, well, I don't know. How foolish are you, king? I mean, you don't believe that story. And yet somehow you believe that... Uh-huh. You make all the nations give you these offerings for these deities, mm-hmm. these little things. So who's the one being foolish here?
Exactly.
Yeah, and for that, Nimrod threw him in the fire, according to Jubilees. Yeah. Now, this is not biblical. Again, this is apocryphal, but it's the same kind of thing that we see here in Psalm 111. You people who are making these idols to try to contain your gods, you're going to become like these dumb idols. Verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. We are his imagers, created in his image.
Exactly.
His moral agents here on earth. Verse 17, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Exactly. Yep. This is a person. It's not a reputation.
Right.
I called on the name of the Lord, Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous our God is merciful. Let me rephrase that. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. Nothing like pausing at the old semicolon.
Skip right over that semicolon there.
Nobody knows that. The Lord preserves the simple. That would be me. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? That's a quote, by the way, verse 12, that's also in Elijah, the oratorio that I love so much. That's part of the widow's aria after her son is brought back to life. Verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. That is salvation.
Yes.
He's redeemed us. He's bought us back. Mm-hmm. He's loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Again, the name.
Mm-hmm.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
I really drew this one right. Psalm 117, possibly the shortest psalm in the...
I think it is, actually.
Yeah, it's all of two verses. This one would be an easy one to remember. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I think there's a song that's based on this one. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand, Jesus Christ, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I am the door, he says. Mm-hmm. I am the way. That's what this means.
Yeah.
Verse 21, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm. Jesus quotes
that.
Yeah, Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43, and Mark 12, verses 10 and 11. Yep.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good song based on that.
Yep.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Don't take that one out of context.
Right.
Don't use this to, you know, and just say that one line to try to get the Lord to approve of anything and everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Serve him with gladness.
Yeah.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's also in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what they say when he's riding into Jerusalem.
That's right.
We bless you from the house of the Lord. If only they had stuck with that and realized who he was. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Again, this is talking about the Lord coming through. And why did he ride into Jerusalem? To be made a sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Think about that phrase, you are my God.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I can claim you as my own, even though you have no beginning and no end.
Exactly.
No creator. You've always been, and yet you have so made yourself available to me that I can say that.
And this refers also to the mindset of 11th century BC, which is when this was written, 10th or 11th century BC, that there were more than one God.
Yes.
Now, we in English would depict almost, well, every one of them except for Yahweh with a capital, or with a small g, lowercase g, small gods.
Again, just think of them as people, entities that live in another realm.
Right. Elohim is a description of place, not a job title.
Right. Oh, give thanks, verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Hmm. Now we
skip over
to 1 Kings again, and this was the description. This was the other version of the account of the transfer of power from David to Solomon that we didn't read last week.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we read the account in Chronicles,
and we had seen it previously, I think, in Samuel.
Yeah, and it didn't. We didn't get into the rebellion of, it's not Absalom, it's one of the other brothers, Adonijah, I believe. Yes, Adonijah. So it was history geek. 1 Kings 1, beginning at verse 1. Now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore his servants said to him, "Let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in your arms, that my lord the king may be warm."
Oh, well.
So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and they found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not.
Now, that means that he did not lie with her.
Right, right. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Now, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Now, Haggith was what? One of his wives or concubines?
Let me go look this up.
One of the wives of David. Name means festive. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, Why have you done thus and so? He was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. His father had never displeased him at any, in other words, David never really corrected him.
Mm.
He conferred with Joab, he being Adonijah, conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and met with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. Joab seemed, I would have thought he had a little more sense than that.
No,
anyway,
not always.
But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Ray. And David's mighty men were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fatted cattle by the serpent's stone.
Serpent's stone.
Which is beside En-Rogel.
Let's take a look at the serpent's stone.
Yeah. See, this is another detail of this story that I don't recall.
The stone of Zochaleth. Let's see. That means serpent, a boundary stone near Jerusalem where Adonijah slew. That's all we get. They're not going to tell us much. I'm going to have to search.
Okay.
See if I can do some research on
that.
Yeah,
that's one to flag.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Serpent's stone, which is beside En-Rogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benaiah. Yeah, I think that's probably better pronunciation.
Benaiah.
I had it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Just think of that AI as a diphthong.
Okay. Benaiah, or the mighty men, or Solomon, his brother. Then Nathan said to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? And Nathan's got to be going, not again. Now, therefore, come, let me give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son, Solomon.
All I can say is if, our favorite author who writes The Lord of the Rings.
Tolkien.
Brian Godawa were writing this. Lord of the Rings style.
Right.
If Brian Godawa were writing this, Nathan would be, you know, a guy with a, he would have just, you know, punched him.
Yeah, yeah.
Nathan, don't mess with these guys.
Nathan was pretty bold. I mean, he was the one who went to David and said, okay, I've got a wee parable for you.
Exactly. It'd be Dane.
Yeah. So, go in at once to King David and say to him, Did you not, my lord the king, swear to your servant, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then is Adonijah king? Then, while you are still speaking with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. By the way, Adonijah, I think Adonai means Lord, of course. We see it Adonai, but it's also Adonis, which is one of the Greek gods.
Which, strangely enough, total left turn here just for a second, is the name of the tree that's been declared the oldest tree in the world in Greece.
Really?
It's the Adonis tree. It's been declared to be just over 1,000 years old.
Interesting.
It's been measured to be that old.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So then you've got the theonomic aspect of the name there, the Yah. So the Lord is Yah, or Lord is Yahweh. Certainly not living like...
No, he's not.
Well, so Bathsheba went to the king in his chamber. Now, the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was attending to the king. Bathsheba bowed and paid homage to the king, and the king said, What do you desire? She said to him, My lord, you swore to your servant by the Lord your God, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now behold, Adonijah is king, although you, my lord the king, do not know it. He has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance. Put in a semicolon where I didn't need one there. He has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon your servant he has not invited. And now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come to pass when my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted offenders.
Well, she was right.
Yes, that's usually how these things worked out mm-hmm. in the ancient Near East. In fact, even to this day, there are places where things like this still work out that way. The son who manages to get enough friends together with him wins, all the other sons dead.
Yep. There's a great play that was turned into a movie that's all about this, Henry II, called The Lion in Winter.
Yes, yes. Niedermeyer, dead. So, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in, and they told the king, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed before the king with his face to the ground.
I'm still trying to figure out where Niedermeyer came from. Isn't that from...
Animal House.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Lion in Winter, Animal House, apparently the same film. We're going to do a mashup of those two.
Yeah, basically the same thing. You never know from which direction the cultural references will come.
You don't. It's. I tell you what, it's amusing and you know, educated. To live with you.
Right back at you, sweetheart. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Why?
And Nathan said, "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down this day and has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons, the commanders of the army, and Abiathar the priest." They're having a big barbecue. And behold, they're eating and drinking before him and saying, "Long live King Adonijah." But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he has not invited. Has this thing been brought about by my lord the king? And if you have not told your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then David answered, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, even so will I do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, "May my lord King David live forever." She was probably thinking, or at least long enough to make a public statement. Yeah. King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came before the king. And the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon." Riding on a mule was a symbol of royalty.
Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus did it.
Yes. "And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' You shall then come up after him, and he shall come up and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say so. As the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites, those were the men of Crete and Palestine, David's personal guard. The Pelethites were the Philistines.
Mm-hmm, the mighty men.
Yeah, who followed him. Went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. Adonijah and all
the... Is that just poetic license, or was it really split by their noise?
Well, I'm guessing...
A lot of noise.
I'm guessing poetic, but... yeah. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting, because that was a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently did invite the people of Jerusalem out to their little barbecue. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "What does this uproar in the city mean?" While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said, "Come in, for you are a worthy man, and bring good news." Jonathan answered Adonijah, "No, for our lord King David has made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites. And they had him ride on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard.
We used to live really close to the University of Missouri arena.
And it was a couple of miles away, but it was close enough that we could still hear it.
We could hear it.
Yeah.
So imagine what that must have sounded like.
Well, and a couple of years ago, back in Illinois, we were within a mile of the stadium at Eastern Illinois University, and they had that really good season. They wound up this year, I think, ranked second in the country in their division. The quarterback now is backing up Tom Brady at New England. So they had a really good team. And toward the end of that season,
they were firing off the cannon a lot.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that one weekend where they were pummeling their rival, main rival, Illinois State, like 44-0 at halftime. Yeah, it sounded like they were shelling. they were firing cannons to shell Bloomington. Here, boom! That was noisy. But this must have been really something, because the people realize what's going on, and that it's not every day you get to have a parade with a new king.
No, that's
so this
true.
Was a big deal. 1 Kings 1, verse 46 says simply, Solomon sits on the royal throne. Moreover, the king's servants came to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon more famous than yours, and make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. And the king also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted someone to sit on my throne this day, my own eyes seeing it. Then all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each went his own way.
Now, the Septuagint says, one of my offspring, who has granted one of my offspring, not just someone.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah, and that makes sense. Now, David could have avoided all this potential rebellion if he had just named Solomon sooner and made it clear, but he was like on his deathbed, so feeble he could, you know,
couldn't even stay warm.
Because if he had died, then basically it's whoever's got the most spears behind them is the one who becomes the king next. But God preserved his life long enough that there were enough witnesses to what David had done that Adonijah was not able to mount a successful rebellion. And at 1 Kings 1:49, you can just imagine all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each went his own way. It's like, I was never here. I was never here. You never saw me. I left, clothes in the dryer. Got to go.
Those selfies I posted to Facebook, they were faked.
Exactly. I was
totally
never there. Verse 50, and Adonijah feared Solomon. So he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. You can't kill me in front of the altar. Then it was told Solomon, behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon. For behold, he has laid hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me first that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, not one of his hairs shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and paid homage to King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. His half-brother and his younger half-brother to boot, that had to be a bitter pill for Adonijah.
1 Kings chapter 2. When David's time drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Sadly, that did not happen.
Yeah.
Moreover, you also know that what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed, avenging in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals of his feet. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. By the way, here's a list of my enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for with such loyalty they met me when I fled from Absalom your brother. And there is also with you Shimei the son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with a sword. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what to do with him, and you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. In other words, playing with the loophole in the I will not put you to death.
Yeah, yeah. So, then, yeah, it's like that comedy sketch we saw. So, do you want us to actually kill him? Well, let's see if we can arrange
an accident.
And we waited months and months for something to happen and never did.
Verse 10. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. Didn't Saul also reign for 40 years?
Yes, he did.
And Moses was in the wilderness with them for 40 years.
And it was 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And yeah, a lot of 40s in the Bible, and not always mean literal 40. Yeah. But
he reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. Interesting, those two. Two interesting words, numbers. So Solomon sat on the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, do you come peacefully? He said, peacefully. Then he said, I have something to say to you. She said, speak. He said, you know that the kingdom was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that all Israel fully expected me to reign. However, the kingdom has turned out about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me. She said to him, speak. And he said, please, can you go to your son? And please ask King Solomon, he will not refuse you, to give me Abishag the Shunammite as my wife. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah. And the king rose to meet her and bowed down to her, paid respect to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat on his throne and had a seat brought for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, make your request, my mother, for I will not refuse you. She said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah your brother as his wife. King Solomon answered his mother, and why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, and on his side are Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah.
Mm-hmm.
Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if this word does not cost Adonijah his life.
Yeah, he knew exactly what Abiathar was doing, or what Adonijah was doing.
Trying to use my mom against me.
Yeah, yeah. Give me this Shunammite woman, and then Adonijah's like, see, I got the king's latest concubine. Mm-hmm. I'm the man. I'm the man. Yeah, Solomon, this was...
He knew what this was.
Yeah.
Now therefore, verse 24, now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and placed me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down, and he died. And to Abiathar the priest, the king said, go to Anathoth, to your estate, for you deserve death. But I will not at this time put you to death, because you carried the ark of the Lord before David my father, and because you shared in all my father's affliction. So Solomon expelled Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, thus fulfilling the word of the Lord that he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh.
Well, that was a long time coming.
That was a long time coming. A
couple of generations back, so yeah.
When the news came to Joab, for Joab had supported Adonijah, although he had not supported Absalom, Joab fled to the tent of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Apparently, this is what you did. Sanctuary!
Yeah, Ali, oxen free.
Oxen, honey, And when it was told King Solomon, Joab has fled to the tent of the Lord, and behold, he is beside the altar, Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go strike him down. Sorry, not going to pull this on me again. Mm. So Benaiah came to the tent of the Lord and said to him, the king commands, come out. But he said, no, I will die here. Then Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, thus says Joab, and thus he answered me. The king replied to him, do as he has said, strike him down and bury him, and thus take away from me and from my father's house the guilt for the blood that Joab shed without cause. The Lord will bring back his bloody deeds on his own head because, without the knowledge of my father David, he attacked and killed with the sword two men more righteous and better than himself, Abner, the son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood come back on the head of Joab and on the head of his descendants forever. But for David and for his descendants and for his house and for his throne, there shall be peace from the Lord forevermore. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and struck him down and put him to death. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army in the place of Joab. And the king put Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell here, and do not go out from there to any place whatever. For on the day you go out and cross the brook of Kidron, know for certain that you shall die. Hmm. Your blood shall be on your own head. And Shimei said to the king, what you say is good. As my lord the king has said, so will your servant do. So Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days. But it happened at the end of 3 years that two of Shimei's servants ran away to Achish, son of Maachah, king of Gath. And when it was told Shimei, behold, your servants are in Gath, Shimei arose and saddled a donkey and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. Silly man.
Yeah.
Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And when Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and returned, the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, did I not make you swear by the Lord and solemnly warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day you go out and go to any place whatever, you shall die? And you said to me, what you say is good, I will obey. Why then have you not kept your oath to the Lord and the commandment with which I commanded you? The king also said to Shimei, you know, in your own heart, all the harm that you did to David, my father. So the Lord will bring back your harm on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed. And the Lord of David, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Then the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. So the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. This would have been an entire season on Game of Thrones.
It would have been, yeah. And I'm kind of regretting now that I never watched Kings.
Oh,
was that the short-lived series
good.
With Ian McShane?
It's a shame it was so short-lived because it was a good show.
Yeah, I never watched. Well, anything with Ian McShane is good.
Oh, yeah.
Although often not of language that's appropriate for children, but yeah. Ian McShane is a really, really good and dynamic actor. Really good stuff. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot more here. I just wonder about the whole deal with Shimei and if there was not some subtext here that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, why was it worthy of mentioning him? Because he just comes across in the in the record, like just some guy who, you know, yelled and insulted David. And then when David came back, he apologized. Mm-hmm. And when his brothers rebelled, Shimei didn't follow Adonijah or Absalom.
Yeah.
In fact, they specifically mentioned that Shimei did not follow Adonijah. And yet Solomon had him killed anyway.
Yeah, good question. There may be some extra biblical information there that we can look up. And
yeah,
we didn't do it this morning because we're doing other things.
Yeah, well, yeah, it just makes you wonder. Did he think he was spying for, you know, the Philistines or for the Pharaoh? Who knows? So anyway, we conclude with a couple of psalms, several psalms.
Three more.
Yep. Psalm 37. This is of David. These may be the last of the psalms that we will encounter if they're going chronologically.
This, by the way, this first line, also in Elijah the Oratorio.
Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that you're going to get everything you want.
No.
If your will, if your life is and desires are in line with his, then he will.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, there are a lot of prosperity preachers out there will take a verse like that out of context. And, you know, if you have enough faith or you pray the right way, God will give you everything you want. Mm, that's not how he works.
Yeah.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. This is tracking with what we read in the epistle of James this morning.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Isn't that amazing how the Lord works that out?
Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The meek shall inherit the earth. Yeah. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way.
The Lord will not abandon him to his power. Interesting.
The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power, will not abandon the righteous to the wicked, is the way I read it.
Gotcha.
Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on it when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. And what is that alternate translation? Well, identity of the tree is uncertain. Spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Mm. Now, Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together. If this is by David, this may well be what we just read in 1 Kings.
Yeah.
For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. This is the resurrection. Mm. You will increase my greatness and comfort me. I will also praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. Mm. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt.
Yeah, this is interesting as we get to the juxtaposition of David and his life with these Psalms. And finally, we skip to Psalm 94 to conclude the reading for today. O Lord, God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words, all the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner, and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord, knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage, for justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought, my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out.
Amen.
Very much like the penalties that were exacted upon Shimei and Adonijah mm-hmm. and Joab.
Even though it seems to us that it's taken a long time.
Right.
If you're, looking at the book of Revelation we see under the altar, how long, O Lord, till you avenge us?
That is exactly what I was thinking when I read mm-hmm. those verses. And oftentimes in our daily lives, we'll see people who are doing really well and they've gotten where they are, not by honest means. And we find that very frustrating. But as God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It may not be in the time frame that we want, but he doesn't see as we see. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, which is a good thing because the world would be even a bigger mess than we've made it. No. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides us and comforts us, instructs us and strengthens us. We pray for your strength, for your wisdom, and for your comfort for those in need, those who are struggling physically or spiritually, financially, Lord, emotionally. We ask that you would give them comfort and peace. We pray for those who are taking the gospel to the ends of the world, those who are especially ministering in areas, Father, where faith in Jesus Christ is a danger. Lord, we pray that you would give them encouragement and protect them, Lord, your holy angels. Father, we pray as we go forward that you give us strength to live according to your will and to your word, to be humble, to be gentle, and to be righteous according to your will and your way, even when it is not convenient to do so. Lord, we ask for your blessing, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with